Good morning and welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you had a wonderful weekend, that you have recharged, and you're ready for the week to come. I hope you unplugged a bit over the weekend. You took some time off. Sometimes to be completely alone with your thoughts. Other times just to be with your friends, your family, and just enjoy life for what it is. Because trust me, life is not what's being shoved at us by the news media. It just is not. So keep that in mind as we press through today, that life is better than what the news media, the progressive press, even Fox News, is pushing towards us today. There's so much more important. But still, we do have to consider the things that they're talking about. And that's what we'll do in this next hour. We'll look at some of the things they're talking about, the sublime and the ridiculous, and just hopefully learn a little along the way. So how you doing? You doing okay today? I hope, like I said, your weekend was a good one. Our weekends are becoming kind of busy lately. It seems like even when my wife Jane has an off weekend, and I explained this last week that she works every other weekend. I don't work the weekends, but when she works every other weekend, she has that weekend off, and then they throw in a Friday, so she has a three-day weekend. So she'll work 6 days and then have a four-day week. See what I mean? She gets a Friday off every other week. And so we try to take those weekends and just unplug and enjoy, if at all possible. Now, that doesn't mean that the house is dirty and we don't buy groceries and things like that, because that's that's exactly what we end up doing. We end up on a marathon house cleaning, and then we end up going to get groceries, and we just have to carve out some time where nothing is happening in between that and church and family and the like. But it seems like those weekends are getting more and more packed with little things that have to be done. And it's harder and harder for us to unplug, just to get away from everything and to decompress, which is something you have to do. You just have to do it. Otherwise, professionals will tell you it's not good for your mental health. You need to unplug. And that is one reason that a few years back, 4 or 5 years ago, we bought a little project toy car. And we take it out when we can, when the weather permits, and we just ride. And those of you who are motorcycle riders, those of you who have project cars, who you just enjoy going and riding and forgetting the rest of the world for a little while, you understand this. Because if you spend, I don't know, half an hour to an hour just driving the back roads, enjoying the scenery, with the top down, especially if you have a convertible top down, just unplugging, turning off the radio, no music, no nothing, just listening to the music of the engine as you work your way through the gears and negotiate the turns and the corners. There's something about that that just makes everything go away and life gets better. And we did that. We did that late yesterday. And we took the little Miata out. It's a 1991 Miata. It's getting to the point now where it's almost old enough to get antique plates, collector's antique plates. It's getting that old now. And we took it out and just rode around the countryside for a while and stopped at one of our favorite places and shared some nachos and then left there and drove around some more. And that seemed to pull everything back into perspective again late yesterday afternoon. We got home after dark, parked the car, and came back in and reset everything in the studio because over the weekend, Saturday night, we had a long power outage here, and I just ignored everything all day long until I got home yesterday. And then had to reset computers and was shocked back into the real world again. But here we are on a Monday, after having the opportunity to decompress, looking at life as we know it. And in life as we know it, there are some loony people. And wouldn't you know it, they're all on the left. Yep, the vast majority of them are. And October 4th, according to the folks over at Newsbusters, various left-wing Hollywood celebrities and the Democratic Coalition announced the creation of their impeachment task force. According to Newsweek, this nutty group of liberal activists from La La Land are hell-bent on holding President Trump accountable for his betrayal of America. Who's on the impeachment task force? Well, the usual suspects. You see these folks called out on Newsbusters practically every day. Tom Arnold. Wow, what a nut. Deborah Messing. Alyssa Milano. Rosie O'Donnell. Ron Perlman. George Takei. This motley crew would be better described as the Trump derangement D-listers for the way they regularly clown themselves on Twitter about politics. And now they've made up this task force to make themselves feel important. With the creation of this team, unhinged celebrities will now be able to feel like their angry exclamation point-filled tweets with clapping emojis are doing something to resist Trump. The task force plans to spread hashtags to streamline impeachment information, combat disinformation, and reach out to Congress through letters and phone calls. The celebrities will also be heavily involved in video conferences, conference calls, and amplifying the message to a Trump level on Twitter. To counter Trump's official impeachment defense task force, this celebrity task force will utilize the Democratic Coalition's massive social media following to protect House Democrats in the front lines of the impeachment inquiry on Trump. Translation. They're going to get the social media friends list of all these people so they can barrage them with more disinformation. How they expect their impeachment effort to work is anyone's guess. Even if the Democrat-led House impeaches Trump, there's no way two-thirds of the Republican-led Senate will vote to convict him. It's the underpants gnome's plan to oust Trump. Phase one, impeach Trump. Phase two, we'll get back to that. Phase three, Democrat president. These are probably the same people who made President Pelosi trend on Twitter with the hashtag. Why are they doing this? Well, according to the Democratic Coalition Chairman John Cooper, quote, for now, impeachment is the only way to hold him accountable for his betrayal of America. In other words, it's because they don't believe in elections. Also, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when Election Day 2020 rolls around, they won't be able to beat him. So they have to try to remove him some other way. If none of this sounds new, that's because it isn't. Messing, Milano, Takei were among several actors who took part in dramatic readings of the Mueller report, meant to encourage impeachment this summer, and others took part in an Impeach Trump Day of Action back in June, on June 15th. This little coalition just lets the people in liberal land act out their Trump fantasies on Twitter, while Democrat grifters rake in the dough from credulous wingnuts. They'll tire themselves out eventually. They'll lose focus and something else shiny will appeal to them. And the next thing you know, they'll be off on another tangent. We, as the American people, are living through unprecedented times. We are witnessing, as if spectators, an attempted coup unfold in real time on the daily and nightly news. But make no mistake, this coup isn't actually about Democrats hating President Trump. Do they despise him, his demeanor, his success? Of course they do. However, the coup that's unfolding right now, is driven by Democrats' deep-seated hatred for you and me, the everyday hardworking Americans. That's what Jake Hoffman over at Town Hall says. He goes on to say, you see, to Democrats, President Trump is the embodiment of middle America. Despite his wealth, fame, and celebrity, he represents the Iowa farmer, the Pennsylvania steelworker, the West Virginia coal worker, the Wisconsin teacher, and the Arizona small business owner. If you stop and think about it, that Pennsylvania steelworker, the West Virginia coal worker, the Wisconsin teacher, the Arizona small business owner, every one of those are seen as inferior people by the celebrities we talked about just a moment ago. They're inferior people. He's the conservative dad who comes home after an exhausting day of work and puts on Fox News. Donald J. Trump is the man who refuses to cower to media East Coast elites instead taking them head on, never backing down, and relishing every second of the fight. Trump, in their eyes, is you. To understand that impeachment isn't about Trump, look no further than the Washington Post's Inauguration Day headline. The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun. That was Inauguration Day. Despite having won the 2016 election in an electoral landslide, Democrats have plotted and schemed how they were going to take down Trump. Democrats have trotted out phony stories, fake news, fabricated evidence, and a series of hoax scandals to no avail. Each attempt has fallen epically flat, further destroying their credibility with the American people and fueling their descent into lunacy and desperation. Consider that since the Democrats' latest impeachment hoax, President Trump's approval rating amongst Republicans has swelled to a staggering 95% and hauled in over $125 million in third quarter fundraising, dwarfing even the best fundraising quarter this year amongst Democrat presidential hopefuls. Equally as impressive, Trump continues to fill larger and larger stadiums and attract a more diverse coalition of support from key voter cohorts that Democrats can't afford to lose. Unsurprisingly, instead of seeing the president's support and fundraising prowess as a sign that they've mistargeted their political calculus, Democrats have doubled down their attacks and increased the fever pitch of their media hyperbole. Unsurprisingly, because they have to, they have no choice. Trump's plain-spoken appeal to Main Street Americans is unrivaled by anyone on the left. It's clear to any objective observer that Trump resonates with regular Americans because he is one. Democrats, on the other hand, have trotted what is effectively a clown car of candidates, from quid pro quo Joe Biden, who appears to have leveraged his political influence as vice president to enrich his family, to the Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, who lied for years about being Native American so she could exploit affirmative action to land a nearly $500,000 a year Ivy League professorship, to Kamala Harris, who used her elitist liberal privilege to sleep her way to the top of California Democrat politics. Every semi-sane Democratic candidate that dared to hold their own party accountable on the issues actual Americans care about, like transportation, infrastructure, jobs, illegal immigration, border security, national security, etc., were institutionally shut down and shut out of the primary process. The Democrats have exorcised any notion of putting Americans, or what the issues they care most about, from their party's belief system and candidate litmus tests. Democrats at large have ripped off the masks that they begrudgingly wore for the past half century to expose the extremism, hatred, and anti-Americanism that exists at the core of their ideology. More importantly, Democrats have realized that the only way they can maintain their chokehold on power is to destroy the American system of government as it currently stands and replace it with a system without the same constitutional protections for free will and freedom in general. If we allow Democrats like Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi, and the bunch to undermine the foundational principles of American governance, we're not simply risking the loss of one of the most effective policy presidents in American history. We're risking our entire concept of freedom and way of life. At the end of the day, it is imperative that we recognize the motivations of our enemy. Sure, Democrats hate President Trump, but that's not what's driving them. What's fueling them is their hatred for your freedom, your faith, your guns, your prosperity, your family, your property. And at its most core level, their hatred of you. Democrats aren't after Trump. They're after you. He's just standing in their way. Truer words could not be spoken. That's from an opinion piece on townhall.com by Jake Hoffman. Truer words could not be spoken. What's happening is that the left has finally had all they can handle of you. They're sick and tired of being impeded by you. They want their way, They want to change everything about this country to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And you keep standing in their way. So, they can no longer have you make decisions about who runs the country. Because you are in their way. You're keeping them from achieving their goals. You're stupid. You're wrong. Remember, they believe they are both morally and intellectually superior to you. You can't possibly know what's best for the country. So you should leave it up to them. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Oh, my. Hope things are going well for you. We dove right in, jumped in with both feet. And I think it was important to. It's a Monday. We need to get back into it. Hey, the water's cold. Just go ahead and jump in. Get accustomed to it. Because the closer we get to Election Day 2020, the dirtier things are going to get. Now, this is something that savvy people have known since Donald Trump won the election in 2016. We have known that the Democrats would not take that lying down. They just wouldn't let it go. The very people who accused him of being unstable because he wouldn't accept the results of an election are not accepting the results of an election. Now, he had good cause to be suspicious and to think that possibly things might be hinky with the election because he was watching how they were working and had been. I've been saying for a while that this guy, our president, knows what's happening in the dark corners of Washington, D.C. And he has for a while. And the reason he's there is to turn on the lights, to throw open the curtains, to open the shades, and to let sunlight flow everywhere so that the American people can see just how dirty D.C. actually is. So they can see just how nasty these people who claim to be representing them really are and what kind of corruption they're up to. I have questioned for years how it is that people who are making $200,000 a year, which is a lot of money to you and me. That's a lot of money. That's many times more than the highest salary I ever made. How can these people be worth many, many, many millions of dollars today? Just pick one. Pick Nancy Pelosi. Go look up look up her net worth right now. See what Nancy Pelosi's net worth is on a congressperson's salary. And ask yourself, self, how does this happen? It can only happen if something shady is going on. And there is a lot of shady stuff going on. A lot of it. So they don't want you to know what's going on. So, they're doing everything they can to focus your attention on President Trump. And they're hoping that they can persuade you that he is dirty, he is guilty, he shouldn't be president, and while you're distracted, they will continue padding their bank accounts. Well, one of the things that they keep talking about him asking for help from foreign powers. They're saying it's about the election, that he's trying to undermine Joe Biden's candidacy. And what he said, quite honestly, several times is, no, this is about corruption. This is about corruption. You see, what's going on in the background that you're not being told about is that there is an investigation going on. It's happening on many fronts. The Inspector General and Attorney General William Barr, they are currently staging an investigation on many, many fronts. And they're overturning a lot of dirt. They're finding a lot of things out. And this is why Ukraine is so important. They're finding a lot of dirt, a lot of dirt in previous Ukraine administrations as it results to relationships with Democrats. And the Democrats know that if this ever comes to light, it will destroy them. So right now they're working very, very hard to get your attention off of them and onto Trump. And they're trying to convince you that Trump is doing what they are actually doing. And now, from the New York Post, another story by Mark Thiessen. President Trump's critics are now complaining that he asked the Australian Prime Minister to cooperate with the Justice Department's investigation into the origins of the Mueller probe, and that Attorney General William Barr has traveled overseas to ask foreign intelligence officials to cooperate with that investigation. The New York Times called it another example of, quote, the president using high-level diplomacy to advance his personal political interests. No, it's not. The president's critics are conflating two different things. The investigation by Trump's private lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, into Hunter Biden's business dealings, and the inquiry by U.S. Attorney John Durham into the counterintelligence investigation directed at the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. The former is opposition research activity. The latter is a criminal justice matter. There is absolutely nothing wrong with asking foreign heads of state or intelligence officials to cooperate with an official Justice Department investigation. As George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley explains, quote, it is not uncommon for an attorney general or even a president to ask foreign leaders to assist with ongoing investigations. Such calls can shortcut bureaucratic red tape, particularly if the evidence is held, as in this case, by national security or justice officials. Americans support the Durham probe. For 2 years, they were told by the Trump's opponents, that the president was, quote, working on behalf of the Russians and had committed treasonous acts that were of a size and scope probably beyond Watergate. Those were serious accusations. And Americans took them seriously. They waited for special counsel Robert Mueller to tell them whether the president had indeed betrayed the country. Then Mueller issued his report, and they found out that none of it was true. They understandably wanted answers. How did it come to pass that our government was paralyzed for 2 years and spent tens of millions of their tax dollars chasing a Trump-Russia collusion conspiracy theory? A Harvard Caps Harris poll following the Mueller report's release found that 53% of Americans said that bias against President Trump in the FBI played a role in launching investigations against him. And 62% supported appointing a special counsel to investigate the investigation of Trump. They wanted an investigation of the investigation because it all smelled really fishy to them. Instead of a special counsel, Barr appointed Durham, a career prosecutor, to lead the investigation. Durham is a man of unimpeachable character who was appointed by Obama administration Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate the CIA's terrorist interrogation program. At the conclusion of that probe, Holder praised Durham for working tirelessly. Now Barr has asked Durham to bring the same tireless professionalism to his investigation into the origins of the Mueller probe. But suddenly, all those who were so eager to find out what happened in 2016 when they thought Mueller would reveal that Trump conspired with the Russians have lost interest. The same people who were outraged at Trump's efforts to discredit the Mueller probe are now doing the exact same thing to the Durham probe. Back then, Democrats insisted Trump stop criticizing the investigation and let Mueller follow the facts wherever they lead. Now they need to heed their own advice. Stop criticizing the investigation. Let Durham follow the facts wherever they lead. If there was no wrongdoing, then there is nothing to worry about. To be sure, Trump bears some responsibility for helping Democrats lump together Durham's official investigation with Giuliani's partisan activities by mentioning them both on the call with Ukraine's president. There should be a firewall between the two inquiries. But keep in mind, It was the Democrats who told us there was nothing wrong or illegal with a presidential candidate hiring a private lawyer to conduct opposition research in a foreign country on their political opponents. After it emerged that the Clinton campaign and the DNC had paid Christopher Steele to dig up dirt in Russia on Trump, the Democrats' defense was, "Yeah, that's just opposition research. Everyone does it." Durham is no partisan actor. Despite political pressure, he cleared the CIA of wrongdoing during the Obama investigation in administration. Like Mueller, he will follow the facts wherever they lead. Maybe that's why so many Democrats are up in arms. And I think that's the case. I think the Democrats are up in arms because they know what he's going to find, or has already found. I'm seeing little trickles of information that indicate that this investigation is already finding deeply damning information, and that the Democrats have a lot to be scared of. So, when you see the news telling you that Donald Trump is dirty, that Donald Trump has done impeachable things, that him asking foreign leaders to help in an investigation is unconstitutional, remember, they're lying to you. Because they understand that not only when the Democrats get found out, the media will be revealed as being deeply biased and in the tank for the Democrats, and that they have willingly been lying to you all this time. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Have you subscribed to the podcast yet? And I know that if you're listening to the podcast, you're looking at your screen and saying, "Well, yeah, hello." Well, there are people who listen on Facebook, and there are others who just go, you know, to the website, to dailyperspectivepodcast.com, and play the podcast from there. You can subscribe. It's available in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. If you have the Spotify app, just search for it. Earmark it. It'll let you know when the new one drops every day. And hopefully in the very near future, my mouth is actually still on the weekend. In the very near future, hopefully the iHeartRadio app, hopefully will be there as well. That it's been submitted. We'll see what happens. It is it's a Monday edition of the program after a weekend. And some of the things that drop over the weekend, I've got my iPad. I've got, you know, something on the TV in the background. I got my feet propped up. Got something, that, you know, I'm taking care of this knee and everything. And I'm just kind of scanning through the news articles about what's happening around us. And now and then I run across something that just makes me shake my head and go, "God, will people ever learn?" An Alabama woman concerned that her methamphetamine may have been tainted with another drug asked the cops to test her stash. Yeah, got her busted. Cops report that 48-year-old Jennifer Coyne Hall called the police dispatch last Wednesday looking for some help. When Limestone County Sheriff's Office deputies subsequently arrived at Hall's residence in Tony, that's a suburb of Huntsville, she presented them with a clear plastic bag she had removed from a baby wipes container. She said, "I want this dope tested." She also said she was concerned that her speed was somehow tainted. The baggie proffered by Hall contained meth. As a result, Ms. Hall was arrested on a felony narcotics possession charge and booked into the county jail. She's being held in lieu of $2,500 bail. We used to have a segment called Stupid Criminals on the Mark and Mac Show, and this is the perfect story. This is why we call them Stupid Criminals. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you call the cops. It's like there have been other stories like that where somebody calls the cops to report a bad dope deal. Yeah, man, a guy took my money and then took off with my weed. Well, there you go. Have a seat in the back of the car while we work this out. Yikes. Thank goodness for things to laugh at. The absurdity in life is a gift. Well, Sunday, yesterday, Republicans pushed back against the uproar over President Trump's comments about China investigating the Bidens. And they said the president wasn't making a serious request, just needling the media. Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri on CBS's Face the Nation said, "I doubt if the China comments were serious, to tell you the truth." The president loves to go out on the White House drive-by. I haven't talked to him about this. I don't know what the president was thinking. But I do know he loves to bait the press. And he does that almost every day to see what you'll talk about. Asked whether it was appropriate to ask a foreign government to interfere with a U.S. election, Mr. Blunt replied, "I don't imagine that's what he was doing. Certainly, we shouldn't expect the Chinese, the Russians, or any of our national security adversaries to be helpful in any way. And if they do come forward with information, I think you'd have to seriously question whether there was any veracity with that information or not." Asked whether Mr. Trump's request was appropriate, Representative Jim Jordan, Ohio Republican, and as far as I'm concerned, a hero, answered with a question of his own. "You really think he was serious about thinking that China's going to investigate the Biden family?" Jordan pointed to Mr. Trump's crackdown on China, including the White House's tariffs on Chinese goods and efforts to stop the theft of U.S. intellectual property. Quote, "I think he's getting the press all spun up about this." This is what he said on ABC's This Week. He goes on to say, "Remember, this is the president who's been tougher on China than any other president." He also cited the Friday response by Senator Marco Rubio, the Florida Republican, who told reporters that the president wasn't making a real request, but rather needling the press, knowing that you guys were going to get outraged by it. "I think he did it to dig you guys. I think he did it to provoke you to ask me and others to get outraged by it," said Rubio. "He plays it like a violin and everyone falls right into it. That's not a real request." House Democrats last month launched an impeachment inquiry into Mr. Trump's request for Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joseph R. Biden over his son Hunter Biden's receiving a seat on the board of a Ukraine energy company despite having no apparent qualifications. Yeah, no qualifications and a salary of $50,000 a month. Hunter Biden also owns a stake in the Chinese government-backed Bohai Harvest Equity Investment Fund and has been accused of leveraging his relationship with the then vice president to benefit the company. That's, of course, something Joe Biden denies. In comments to reporters Thursday, Mr. Trump reiterated he thought Ukraine should launch a major investigation into the Bidens. He said, "And by the way, likewise, China should start an investigation into the Bidens because what happened in China was just about as bad as what happened in Ukraine." Other Republicans, including Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Mitt Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, have criticized Mr. Trump's China remarks because, of course, Susan Collins told reporters, "I thought the president made a big mistake by asking China to get involved in investigating a political opponent. It's completely inappropriate. It's also completely not really happening, Ms. Collins. You would probably know that if you actually were paying attention, rather than being a partisan hack and making your Democrat friends across the aisle very happy with you from time to time." And this is something I've said before. President Trump enjoys playing the media like a cheap fiddle. He knows exactly how they're going to respond. He knows exactly what's going to make him fly off. He knows exactly what they will chase with every ounce of energy they have. And so he tosses them stuff from time to time that makes them go crazy, and all you see in the news is reporting on something that actually is not even happening. Because the media, being deeply biased and deeply progressive now, is willing to believe things from one set perspective. They're not willing to be open. They're not willing to look at all of the information and judge things fairly. It all has to fit their preconceived notions. So they pursue everything from the perspective of their preconceived notions in order to find out what else Trump is guilty of doing. So he throws something out there from time to time just to see the fireworks. And those who have been paying attention for a little while go, oh, he's doing that again. And we don't take it seriously. Because the left, if they possibly can, will take him out at the knees. That's what they're trying to do with the impeachment thing right now. It's short-sighted. It's bizarre. It's weird. It's unfounded. But they're going full tilt into it. And in large measure, it's because they don't want you to actually pay attention to what's going on behind the curtain. It's like the Wizard of Oz. What's going on behind the curtain is what's really happening. What they're presenting to you is just the show. That's something to keep in mind today. Especially when you start getting that feeling. You know what I'm talking about. When you see the press talking about this is going on, and he's guilty of this, and we know this, and there's a second whistleblower. Yeah. When you heard there was another whistleblower, what was your first thought? Mine was, seriously? So is Michael Avenatti representing this one? That's what I thought. Because here we go again. It's like Kavanaugh again. They keep throwing things at the wall, hoping something will stick. And people who want it to stick will believe anything they throw at the wall. And when it doesn't stick, they will still continue to believe it. You've probably seen it on social media. Those who say, yeah, but, every time you can come up with a way to refute what they're claiming, they always have a yeah, but. And every yeah, but is even less credible than the one before it. Well, speaking of whistleblowers, from the Western Journal, there's a commentary by Benjamin Avery. It says, since the beginning of the Trump-Ukraine scandal, the left and much of the media have acted as if the whistleblower at the center of the ordeal was a good Samaritan who had only the best interests of the nation at heart. But as more details emerge, that presumption could be falling apart. A respected investigative journalist has now staked his reputation on a report that far from being a proverbial Boy Scout, the whistleblower may actually have been a liberal operative with close ties to the Obama administration. If that's true, that claim could put the scandal in the same category as the now debunked Russian collusion claims. A desperate play by Democrats to stop the sitting president without having to actually defeat him on Election Day. You see, they can't defeat him on Election Day. That's the whole issue here. So they keep having to throw this stuff at the fan to see what will spin off and stick to the walls. They keep trying to distract you and to deceive you and to shake your confidence. Don't let them. They're lying to you. Remember that as you head into your Monday. They're lying. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. The daily hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. I'm looking at my list of things, stories I wanted to talk about today. There's the Florida woman arrested after her parents found 24 pipe bombs in her bedroom. Not getting to that. Hundreds of young trans people are seeking help to return to their original sex. It's a story coming to us from Europe. Why? Because they're learning that that's not real. What they thought would give them fulfillment and satisfy their deepest desires, what would correct everything that was wrong, turned out not to be true. Hillary Clinton compares the decision to not divorce Bill Clinton. She compared that to parenting a transgender child, which I thought was a very interesting perspective, because if you are parenting, really parenting, a child, you are guiding the child through the facts of life, not the fantasies of life, the facts of life, and you will guide that child away from transgenderism. There are a lot of different facts of life. Let me touch on those real quick. In 2014, I posted this list on my personal blog, and I put it on the website on dailyperspectivepodcast.com. I put it on the website over the weekend, and I wanted to run down this list for you. I decided I needed to create a list of things that I hold to be true, things that guide my thinking and my choices. It is a work in progress. There are 41 items. I may not get to all of them before we're done here, but I'm going to dive in and get us started on it, at least. It isn't really a numbered list, so we're not going to assign any more or less value to any item except item number one, the very first one. The rest, more or less the same. Item number one is God is alive. I will not argue the point. God is alive. God isn't interested in conforming to your misconceptions of Him. Religion is mankind's effort to please a deity and produces more questions than answers. Also, religion is a choice. You're not born with it. You're not born into it. You must surrender yourself willingly to it. There is a design for everything in life. This is my list of what I consider to be facts of life. There is a design for everything in life. I want to unpack this one for just a moment. It's important to not only acknowledge that, but to seek the truth in it. Because until you acknowledge and embrace the fact that there is a design for everything in life, you will be seeking fulfillment everywhere but in the design. True fulfillment comes from learning to live the way life was designed and intended to be lived. That's the next item on the list. Jesus of Nazareth set the example for living life as it was designed and intended to be lived. I cannot take credit for this next statement. This comes from my friend Scott Dawson, who says, reminds us that Jesus said, "Follow me, not follow my followers." If you're going to learn how to live life as it was designed and intended to be lived, you won't learn it by following the followers of Jesus. You'll only learn it by following Jesus. Moving on, nobody knows all the answers. Next, science is a search for answers, not an answer in itself. That's something we need to remember today with all of the claims about the devastations coming our way through man-made climate change. By the way, sidebar, personally, I think the claims about man-made climate change are some of the most arrogant things ever. Because when you consider how old the Earth is and how it has survived for those all of that time it's been around, to think that we can do enough damage to it that we could destroy it, we are thinking very highly of ourselves. Moving on. Atheism is only a respectable worldview when it respects other worldviews. Condemning someone because they don't embrace your religion is proof that your religion has nothing worthy of embracing. Your life at this moment represents the sum total of all your choices. Moral standards are vital. Let's stop on that one for a moment. We're watching the society around us disintegrate because influential people have convinced our society that standards are a bad thing, that they're oppressive, that they're hateful. But moral standards are vital. We must have guardrails to keep people from wandering blindly into the ditches or into oncoming traffic. And that's what moral standards are. Without them, we have chaos. The next item is anyone who denies the necessity of moral standards is either deceived or they're trying to deceive you. Next, regardless of your circumstances, there is always hope. Next, we elect representatives, not leaders. Career politicians are not servants of the people. The United States of America is the best idea ever conceived by mortal man. Today we are watching as those who want to destroy moral standards want to destroy the fact that this nation is the best idea ever conceived by mortal man. Political parties divide people and make it easier for corrupt politicians to manipulate them. Leftism, progressivism, liberalism must deny reality in order to exist. When entertainment becomes more important than the realities of life, society is near destruction. Write that one down somewhere and think about it. Manipulating others is evil. That's Washington, D.C. in a nutshell. People believe in whatever feeds their core values. Every person has the divine gift of free will. Yeah. What happens next is your choice. Our choices, not our circumstances, define who we are. People in general enjoy being distracted from reality. I think we all agree on that. Otherwise, there would be no movies, no football, etc. Crooked lobbyists exist because corrupt politicians exist. Wow, there's one to think about. Man-made global warming and climate change are fraudulent examples to instill fear in people for political purposes. Socialism and communism are both failed ideas embraced by people who deny reality and ignore the abundant evidence of failure. If leftist concept actually worked as promised, then Chicago would be the safest and most prosperous city in America. The only utopia is heaven. And there was once a rebellion there. There are more items on the list. You can see it for yourself at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And that wraps it for today. God bless you. Have a good Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.